everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Ball Boys. We are the tennis podcast that puts the lob in lobotomy, which maybe would have made that Netflix slam make a little more sense. We'll get to that and the latest and gayest from around the tour, plus a preview of Indian Wells on today's episode. I'm Paul Munkholm, and as always, I'm joined by the sense to my sensibility, Billy Hansen. Hey, Billy, how's it going?
Hey, Paul, it is going well. I've got my heat cranked to a sensible 74, perfect podcast recording temp, you know, because you want your vocal cords to be lubricated, right, to be open. It's going to be a little hot during the Madonna concert tomorrow night because she famously does not have any air conditioning during her shows. So be prepared.
I saw that reel that's going to the three things to know before you go to Madonna. One, she starts late. Two, there's heat. And three, I feel like don't pee. But yeah,
I think it was specifically pee, not during Bad Girl, but during Human Nature. So.
Which, who would pee during Bad Girl? Bad Girl is one of my favorites.
Oh, Bad Girl Drunk by Six.
That was my anthem. Some kind of, the early 2000s. I was like, yeah, I just have a trench coat and I'm walking around smoking a cigarette. That was my vibe.
I'm glad she's including it on this show.
I am too. It was an important part of her era. This is called the Eras Tour, or is that, I don't know what this is, but yeah.
I don't know where she got that idea, but yeah, I think so. Who do you think, you know, she brings up a surprise guest during Vogue for the Vogue Ball. Who do you think we're going to see? It's been a lot of drag queens lately, like Trinity and Simone. Yeah. I mean, are we going to get like a Trixie Mattel, or do you think we're going to get an actual celeb?
I mean, I don't know, maybe Kamala? I'm gonna get up there and I don't know. Maybe
it'll be Joe. What do you think? Maybe just Joe Biden
or Meredith Vieira, other celebrities we've talked about recently, Harry Styles. Yep. You know, it could be literally anyone, but it'll probably be a drag queen, maybe someone from season 16, maybe Nymphia Wins.
You know, what if it's a tennis player because they're all in the area? What if it's,
who could it be? I feel like
Paolini.
Maybe a recent winner like Paolini or Katie Boulter.
Yeah.
Like, I think KB could get up there and really.
The crowd will be a buzz. They'll be like, wow, they got Katie Boulter. Because like, of course they've all heard about, you know, her recent accomplishments. And I mean,
Oh yeah. Well, we're going to get into her in just a second, but just as important as Madonna and the Oscars coming up this weekend, Indian Wells is getting underway. We are in the qualies right now. It starts on Wednesday. And you are going to be out there for, I don't know, like 3 weeks total, 7 weeks. I don't know how long. You're going to be out there for a long ass time. And I'm going to join you for one of those days on March 11th. And we talked about this last episode, but we're going to have a little Ball Boys Day on March 11th, right?
Yes, March 11th. That's the Monday. We're going to get up some shenanigans.
Well, because famously the gay weekend goes through Monday. So, you know, of course we could have had it on a Sunday, but who does that? We're doing this for the gays and the girls on Monday the 11th. Yes.
Yes. Monday the 11th, 4 p.m. Further details to follow later in the episode. So sit tight.
Yes. Everybody. But if you can't wait, DM us. As always, we love the DMs that we get on Instagram. They run the gamut from vulgar to slightly offensive, and we love them all. So please DM us, and you can find us at TBB Pod Official. That's at TBB Pod Official. And we don't have our interns or our mothers reading it. It will be Billy and I reading it over and over to each other as we hold each other at night. So please send us a note if you want to know more about what we're doing at Indian Wells.
Well, I might need to come hold you at night because you still have no heat. You just moved, everybody. Paul just moved to a beautiful new place. I'm so excited, but you still don't have the heat or there's some other hot water.
There's great bones, as they say. Now, you know, I love great bones.
Mm. Oh, you do.
But right now I don't have heat or hot water. So it's a bit of a homesteader lifestyle for me.
Maybe a sensible 74 doesn't sound so bad right now, eh?
Well, I will tell you this. I'm nowhere near a sexual 69 in the mornings when I wake up. I am
right.
I am waking up. Just shiver me timbers. It is quite chilly, but refreshing.
It's like a frigid 51. Yeah.
A frigid air. But let's jump in because we got to talk about that Lobsbian real quick. We talked about Katie Boulter for a second, and the Lobsbian is this new it couple, this power couple. Bye, Tsitsidosa. I'll see, you know, arrivederci. It is Katie Boulter and Alex DeMeneur. They both just won 500 level tournaments on the same weekend within 24 hours of each other. And Alex won down at Acapulco. He defended his title. And Katie just won the well-attended, prestigious, cutthroat San Diego Open. And great for them. Lots of points. And to do it for each other.
What do you think? Are we too jaded, or can we find this cute, right? Like that this couple won tournaments the same week. What's even...
Oh my God, what do you mean jaded? I'm obsessed with them. I am so happy. And the way that he flew up there to see her in the final.
Yeah, he ditched the victory party in Acapulco and instead like took some taxi at 4 a.m. to get, you know, and then some plane to get to San Diego so he could watch Katie's final. All the commentators were going on about how he's the best boyfriend ever. I mean, I'm like, that's not that great. Like,
look, like, I'm sorry. Carbon footprints are out and carbon dating is in. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. The hot new trend is to fly anywhere in the world where your significant other is competing for a trophy. Just like Taylor Swift did for the Super Bowl. Alex is like, well, no, I've got to go see. I mean, look, I think we've given up on climate change and we're just going to go and support our significant others wherever they are. And I think it was great. I'm so excited. But I got to know, like, what is their couple name? Like, we've got Tsitsidosa, which is Tsitsipas and Paula Badosa, but Katie Boulter and Alex DeMeneur?
Well, so you famously have trouble pronouncing Alex's last name. Why don't you say it one more time, Paul?
DeMeneur.
Is so that not? I think because it's technically pronounced Diminar, I believe, or at least that's closer to the correct pronunciation, Alex Diminar. I think we should ditch the Minar aspect and make their couple name DeBolter. What do you think?
DeBolter?
DeBolter? Do we like that? Or maybe Demon Bolt?
Or just like DeBolts? Or yeah, I was actually thinking maybe it's like combining their first two. It's like Calyx or a lady.
Ooh.
Or something that just sounds kind of new and sexy and cool.
These sound like the kind of names that some horrible couple in the Midwest would name their children right now.
I think Boo Manure is kind of cool. Boo Manure.
Boo Manure?
Yeah, like Boulter and Manure. Is it Demon Hour? Boo Manure. I think that's it. I think we've got it. And I can't wait for their joint Instagram.
Let's continue. We'll continue to workshop ideas for their couple name.
Yeah, we nailed it.
you know, I don't want you to forget, though, about we, of course, still have Monfils and Svitolina. We can't sleep on them. We've got those, I think, are our three tennis power couples right now, right? Tsitsidosa.
Oh, yeah.
Manure.
But this is the new Manure. It, like, what other couple has won 500 level tournaments the same weekend? Like, this is like, whoa, unprecedented.
Yeah, usually one member of the couple is peaking while the other one's like injured or having like, you know, a slump. Both members of the couple at their best. That is exciting. That's unprecedented. That's like, you know, Chris Evert and Jimmy Connors back in the day.
Yeah, like this is the one that makes me believe in love because it's like, oh, wow, it makes them stronger. The other couples, you know, one has a baby, the other one falls over. It's just it wreaks havoc with your tennis game. But here, I think it's beautiful. So that's my Lobsbian, because even though it's just celebrating a heteronormative straight couple, it made me a little gayer.
moi aussi. And what would make me even gayer is if they had some mixed doubles at Indian Wells. Why do we not have mixed doubles at any tournament other than the slams? I mean, Indian Wells is 10 days long. They can make it work. If they want to, you know, accommodate scheduling concerns, they could only have 16 teams or 32 teams. But come on, how good would a Boo Manure versus Sissy Dosa final be? Like, how fun would that be for fans? Like, right?
1,000%. I think, but it's like, okay, we'll have mixed doubles, but you have to be a couple. And so,
so like, there will be a lot of flings over Indian Wells. Like, okay, we're going to do it.
Carlos and Emma Raducanu can finally have that moment that he was saying he wanted to have.
I love that them as a team. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Venus and can find Riley Opelka wherever he is, and they can be a team.
Yeah, I think he's just at Fashion Week now. I don't know. Riley, we miss you.
Grigor can yank Maria Sharapova out of retirement, and they can be a team, or he can yank Serena out of retirement. Either one, okay. Right?
I don't know what this yanking women is all about, but or he can just find someone who's not retired, sir. Yelena Yankovic over here. Let's let's go to the winner circle though, because we got a lot to cover. Before we get to the actual winner's circle though, we got to talk about that Netflix slam that just aired live on Netflix this past Sunday. And you know, they made a lot of choices. I will say the consensus based on DMs on Instagram, again, DM us at TBB Pod Official, as well as Grindr DMs, which is another source of tennis opinions. People were not obsessed with it. In some ways, I couldn't help but think about that Oompa Loompa exhibition that just happened over in Scotland. Did you see coverage of that where they were going to have like the Willy Wonka experience?
I missed that, unfortunately.
Oh, honey.
Or maybe it sounds like fortunately.
I don't know where you get your news, but basically they had a Willy Wonka exhibit where it was going to be like this immersive thing. Like, you know how they're doing all those immersive events, and people showed up and it was like a sad warehouse with like one Oompa Loompa in the corner with like jelly beans. And the Netflix slam was better than that. But there were just so many weird little glitches and things, like just the way I say Alex DeMeneure, the announcer mispronounced Rafael Nadal's name when he came out. Like who doesn't know? It's not Nadal. Rafael Nadal. Like, it's just like things like that were off. Like, the sound was off. They could hear the announcers on the court during the play.
Those video replays took forever to pop up on the screen. It was like, you know, Nadal had his hands on his hips. Like, okay, it's been 10, 15, 20 seconds. Finally, there's the replay.
And also they had to look straight up at the replay every time. Like, it was just like hurting their necks. Like, it's just, I couldn't, with my neck, I would be like, I'm going to have to trust you. I can't look up there.
Right. Right. But you know, you are a seasoned tennis viewer, a seasoned tennis fan. So you're going to notice some of these details, some of these flaws, some of these maybe, you know, ill-conceived ideas. Whereas I wonder if the casual fan, and I think maybe the Netflix slam is more for the casual fan, might see a packed house, all these celebrities, right? We had Charlize Theron there. We had Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones and a bunch of athletes. And
end of list.
You know, I could keep going, but I know you only.
Well, there weren't that. I mean, they kept showing the same celebrities. Oh, I mean, it was.
Right.
But you're right. It was a packed stadium, which was great. Yeah. It was like here's what it was. There was a ton of potential.
Yeah.
But it just, they could have done so much more. And yes, maybe it was for the casual viewer, but it was like, wait, they've been planning this for a long time. And look, I know, you know, planning an event takes a lot, but like, they got money. This is Vegas. I mean, those changeover chairs, those wooden benches, like, I mean, we were talking last episode, like, they need to have this stadium built out of marshmallows. And they were like on a tough, gritty court with wooden benches. Like, honey, they're poor bodies, they're poor bottoms.
Yeah, what do you think of the tennis itself? I mean, because I was not very impressed by either Carlos's or Nadal's level. I mean, I know Nadal looked great those first few games, but I think Carlos was just kind of, walking around, hit and giggle
Well,
style.
what impressed me was that we absolutely predicted the outcome, which was that it was definitely going to be split the first two sets. So it can't you couldn't help but wonder, like, how scripted is this? You know, quote unquote script. I mean, it's hard to script a tennis match. The
It's not that hard.
quality, there were some moment it was more of an entertaining kind of like, oh wow, like there was a cool over like Rafael had that great overhead at three love that was really cool. And there were a few moments, but it was not a competition. It was a
Carlitos had a few great drop volleys, some great drop shots. Nadal had that one running forehand to save match point in the third set tiebreaker. That there were enough kind of hot shots to where I think the crowd was entertained. And the commentators, I mean, they were hyping the shit out of this
Oh my
Netflix
God.
slam. I mean, they were playing their part and being like, this is one of the most high stakes matches ever, to
Except
take place.
for Andy Roddick and even Agassi, though, after that first set, like Andy was like, their serves are terrible. And Agassi was like, yeah, every time I see a backhand, I'm cringing. So, but they were all, I mean, everyone was paid a lot to make it seem like it was something more than maybe it was.
Epic.
And yeah, it was just a little, but then even like the award ceremony. I mean, so we talked about Iga at Dubai and the pyrotechnics and the craziness of that win. I kind of was expecting a giant, whether it was going to be, I don't know if you can do indoor fireworks, but some sort of pyrotechnics, at least something or some big technology thing at the end where it's just like, here's your Lions Cup.
Yeah, like a big
Carlos.
showgirls reenactment or something, right? Like,
Something.
give
Yes.
us Nomi, was that Elizabeth Berkley's
Noe
character's name?
Malone.
Yeah,
Yes. Yeah.
give us a reenactment of give us some tits. This is
Well,
Vegas, you know what I mean?
and that's kind of like the thing that I and you know, we're not going to harp on this too long, but we could. But the thing that I think that they should have done is they either should have gone much more Vegas or much more Netflix. They kind of just like had it was a tennis match that could have been anywhere. Like they could have had, you know, those ring announcers. They could have, you know, ladies and gentlemen, da, 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 da. They could have had the
A
girls with the
couple,
signs walking around. They could have
yeah,
had,
a couple big cats prancing around.
yes, absolutely. I mean, I want a cat in a cage just kind of like pacing around or like, and like, look, there was a dance squad break at the Australian Open between matches.
Fly
After
them in.
every set, they could have had the Laker girls come out. It could have been full on like camp entertainment.
Doesn't Erika Jayne still have a residency out there? Like, get Erika Jayne out there.
Honestly, you know, or like that girl who just butchered the national anthem, like something, yeah. Or they could have gone fully Netflix and the court should have been the most high-tech court ever made, where it's like there's video screens showing like previews of Love is Blind. They could have had the cast of Ozark laundering money on the side of the court. They could have been like doing like a full cameras everywhere. I want a camera on those benches, you
Yeah,
know.
like give me some like AI commentators, right?
Oh my God, make the entire court AI. Like, holy
Yeah, like a
shit.
third McEnroe brother who's like a weird love
Oh,
child of Patrick and
yeah.
John. Like,
Yeah.
and
And he's
hopefully
kind of
Patrick
a
and John would
dick, but
be.
we kind of love him. Yeah. Like that's the thing. It's like they could have gone there and they just didn't. A few more things. Why
I
did they
have to
call it a
say,
slam? That I felt was like, girl, you're not Wimbledon. You're not like the Netflix slam. Just as a name, like, bro, you have net in your name. Like maybe you could have.
Netflix battle,
Yeah.
Netflix clash. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah. Or like net something.
I've got to tell you, though, Stranger Things aside, Netflix in general, I feel like tends to be pretty mediocre. I mean,
Oh, honey, beef.
trying to get through The Diplomat right now
Oh,
and struggling.
I ate that up. And
See,
Ozark and beef. I mean, come on. Did you watch beef?
people's standards
Are you
have
still vegan?
dropped. I thought beef was good. Did I think it was great? Did I think it was, you know, like a transcendent moment in culture and television? No, I think our standards have dipped a little bit.
Well, I do have to say the thing that I liked the most about this was just the fact that while this was going on, this worldwide spectacle, Novak is just over at UCLA putting on a little exhibition with the captain of the team. And you know how mad he is that nobody asked Novak to be part of the Netflix slam.
I mean, Sorry, Novak. Of his little PR stunts this past week have felt so desperate. He just reeks of desperation. And it's
Desperado.
Like...
Desperado.
Who do you think should play the next Netflix slam? Ooh. Who do you think? We had Alcaraz, Nadal. What can top that?
I mean, that's pretty... That is a real toppy billing. I would want... So we need people with appeal and drama and... So, like, I'm going to say two names that I don't actually want to see play ever, but if they were in their right form, it would be great to see, like, a Kyrgios versus Novak.
I thought you were going to say a Margaret Court versus Novak.
Good day. Like, Margaret Court today or Margaret Court back?
No, you said when she was in her right form. So I was like, okay, good old, you know, Margaret Court from 73.
Oh, no, she's in her right form right now. This is peak Margaret Court.
Gotcha, of course.
Yeah. Who would you want to see?
I think let's bring Serena and Roger out of retirement, right? Because they're probably still quite good. And let's have them play mixed doubles with some players who have not retired. So, like, maybe it's Roger and Iga versus Serena and, like, Sinner, something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, like a hot mixed.
Yeah.
Mix it up.
I love that. And then, like, but maybe one of the sets, it's like Iga and Serena versus Sinner and Federer.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And I don't want any of this hit and giggle laughing shit. They are out there for blood. I want blood. The prize money to be 10 to 15.
One of million. Their children. I want yeah. like kidnap one of the Federers. Olympia, we don't know where she's at.
So it's like a Hunger Games Netflix slam.
It's Hunger Games. Yes, we need a Hunger Game. The Netflix slam, did you ever see that 1980s movie Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I missed that one.
It was one of his first movies, and it was a reality TV show where you were thrown into like a gauntlet against sort of gladiator-style people who would actually kill you.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what reality TV is turning into. So, like, Netflix slam, like, if something horrible doesn't happen to the loser, why am I watching? It's just good TV.
I mean, I am a little worried about, like, the child welfare, you know.
Oh, someone's always going to get upset about the children. It's always something.
Okay, fine. I'm on board. I'll be there.
But now on to some actual winners of the actual tournaments that have been going on. So there were some decent men's tournaments that happened in the last week and a half. We talked about Acapulco a little bit. Dubai, you know, it's kind of funny. It was like if you're super hot, you went to Acapulco. And if you were just like talented, you went to Dubai. So Dubai, you know, had a great field. We had Daniil Medvedev trying to defend his title.
But you know, I have a crush on Medi, so I'm in the Medi is hot camp.
No, you're not. You don't think he's hot.
I do.
No,
I actually don't. Yes, I do.
You're full of shit.
You know,
you've never once said that.
Just about appearances. It's about the whole package. And I love his charm. I love his
His whole package. You do not. You're full of shit.
Yeah. No.
Well, then you know, I'm sending you back to Dubai. have a great trip.
Hey.
Well, he was trying to defend his title never defended a title, which is pretty interesting. Like, oh, wow.
Because he's won
over 20 singles tournaments and he's never defended. And he hired Jill Simone to be on his coaching team, which was an interesting choice because Jill Simone has also never defended equal pay for men and women on
notorious misogynist Gilles Simon, like
famously died on that hill or on that sword saying no, it should not be equal prize money. So that's his new coach, and it did not work out. He lost in the semis, And the winner was Ugo Humbert. He had a great run, beat a lot of top 10 players, a lot of former top 10 players. And he's actually won of the first six finals he's played in. He's won all six. Only the third player in the Open era to do that. Do you have any guesses as to who the other two players who have won all six of their finals?
Nadal?
Nope.
Are these just men, or are we with
these are
women
just
too?
Sorry, just men. Yes,
just men.
Huffapuff?
Better? No.
No, I mean, there's literally no world.
They're random.
Yeah. I mean, it's Ernest Gulbis and Martin Clizan.
I miss Clizan, whatever his name is. He had a really nice leg tat, a really nice leg sleeve, if you will.
Yeah.
Where's he been?
I mean, he's not retired, but he's kind of inactive. Although since his retirement, he ran to be mayor of his local town. I'm just reading about Clizan.
But Clizan, not Gulbis?
No, but he's returned as of December 23. So I guess he lost that election.
He did not. Why?
I would have voted for him.
I would have voted for him, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, speaking of today was the beginning of primary voting in California. So if you haven't voted, folks,
vote.
Give it a whirl. Try it on. Yeah. See if you like it. It's sweet. You'll like it. So other news, actually, before we on to the winners.
We've got to talk about that big event in Dubai.
Herkash jumping over the bench.
Exactly. Another guy that I think is cute.
Oh, totally cute. He's so cute.
Okay.
No, but when we talk about who was at Acapulco, that was like hotsy totsy.
Right. Yeah. That was like...
It was a different level, sir.
Firon's wob.
Honey, Drapers and Paul's and oh my.
Ruse.
But yeah, so Rublev defaulted in the semifinal. In the third set, on serve at 6-5, he has a classic Rublev breakdown freak out. Like, he's graduated now from being just a danger to himself, but now a danger to others on court.
Yeah.
Because I don't care what he said. There's a dispute of, like, was it in English and Russian? And what would he say? The way he was screaming at that line judge was just out of control. And
it was threatening. He had his racket up and he's also, Rublev has been right on the cusp of going way too, he's gone
nuclear.
Too far. And he's been on the precipice of going way too far for a long time. And yeah, but you don't think it matters whether he said what he's accused of saying? Because the accusation, I believe, is that he said he called the lines man a fucking moron in Russian. And another line
is that not allowed?
I think that's verbal abuse of an official at a level that is an immediate default. I mean,
well, because when Serena had that famous exchange with the Lions woman at the U.S. Open, she wasn't defaulted for that.
Right. She had already lost a point. That was a point penalty.
I think it was like a point or maybe a game penalty, but she was not thrown out of the match for that.
Right. We'll need to look at the rule book, but it might be a level of severity. I'm not saying that Serena's behavior wasn't severe, but if you're literally calling someone a fucking moron, and I don't know, Rublev hadn't gotten a point penalty earlier in the match.
I think that his menacing physical behavior is much more troubling. Like, I've heard people say way worse than fucking moron on the court. They say it when I'm walking down Melrose. Like, it's just, and no one gets defaulted. But if someone is physically, like, he's about to throw his racket at someone's head. And that's what's like, okay, we got to stop somewhere. There's got to be a line. And he crossed it. So
he crossed the line. He crossed the lines person. I think, frankly, I'm with everyone else. It is an argument, though, for instant replay, just so that there wouldn't be this debate about, did he say it? Did he not say it? At least that debate could be resolved. So then we could make a decision based on the facts versus on disputed facts. I think that would really just help the game in general. There's that scenario with Goff. I think it was in Dubai where there was a call that clearly went against her. And she was right, but the umpire didn't have access to instant replay, so you know, went with his own interpretation of it. And why are we waiting for instant replay on the tours? I don't know. Yeah.
And why are there lines judges at all anymore? I mean, all of it, you know.
And why isn't there mixed doubles at Indian Wells?
Yeah. And why did they call it the Netflix Slam?
Yes.
Jesus, and why a lot of
why didn't they bring Katie Bolter on stage for Madonna's show?
Look, it's we don't know. We've got a whole day of wondering. And
yes,
and
I believe I still
maybe
believe.
Start. It's kind of like, let's start the petition, just like they got Betty White to host Saturday Night Live. Like, let's get Katie Bolter on the stage with Madonna tomorrow night. Say it with me. Katie Bolter on stage with Madonna tomorrow night.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yes.
We did it.
Is that something we can vote on the ballot?
Oh, that's what I was voting on earlier today.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. So I know we talked a little bit about it already with Alex de Minaur winning Acapulco, the 500 level tournament down in Mexico, which honestly, I kind of feel like is a little bit of a sleeper hit because
I totally agree.
The crowds are great, the grounds are great, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful area. And I kind of think maybe that's going to be a ballboys destination next year.
100%. Yeah. I mean, or if this, we could see if the San Diego Open happens again next year, and then we'll have to choose San Diego again for the third time. Or Acapulco.
Third time's a charm. yeah, I think that's a big if, and we'll talk about San Diego also in a second. It's an if it's coming.
If it's anything.
If it's long for this earth. But Acapulco, I mean, honestly, at first I was like Acapulco, kind of like 13 going on 30 when Jennifer Gardner was like Pookie, more like Pookie, because everyone was bottoming out. Everyone was shitting the bed. I don't know if there was something in the water, but like Tommy Paul out in the first round, Fritz, your favorite Zverev, out yes, like a light.
That thrilled
and then,
me.
You know, Tiafo, Shelton. I mean, the American men that we were all so excited for are just not doing it right now.
I have to say though that Shelton Ruud match. I think it was a quarterfinal. Ben Shelton versus Casper Ruud.
Yeah,
and you know Casper Ruud is a tough out and. He proved it in that quarterfinal. Ben Shelton won the first set, but Ruud just got so steady and he's playing a little more aggressively. So I don't think that's a terrible loss for Shelton. I think everyone else shat the bed.
Everyone else was bullshit. Yeah. It's kind of nice to see Casper Ruud back in the mix. He still has not won anything above a 250 tournament, but he now has a new sort of record or milestone where he's been to the finals of every level of every tournament, Grand Slams, thousands, tour finals, now 500. This is his first 500 level final, and he's only won 250s. Hello, 250, baby.
But you think Casper has top energy?
No.
Oh, I thought on the phone the other day. I swear you said you thought Casper had top energy. No, we were in the car.
When we were calling each other at night to just recap who had top energy today.
We were strolling through Target looking for a new broom for your new place
for me to ride around on my new car. It's a broom. I don't know. I think that he can be toppier, but I don't know. Like I don't think he's more toppy than he was, but he's still a bottom.
I never questioned his bottom energy, but I think he might bottom his
I think
way
that's
to
why
the
you
top.
Two kind of bounce off each other. There's just like a repellent. It's like oil, like, and water.
Two bouncy cheeks just ricocheting.
It's physics.
Ruud, I think he's making small little improvements to his game, and I think he might bottom his way to the top in 2024.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what
good
we do.
Good for her. Well, you did talk about San Diego real quick. And honestly, okay, look, the gig is up. Like, I'm sorry. San Diego, you are full of shit. You are not a sunny destination. The weather, again, so we've gone the last 2 years. Sorry, it was in November, and it was just raining the whole time, freezing. Now they have it in late February, early March, raining, freezing. People are in jackets. The players did not look very happy. And so what's the deal? Is San Diego full of shit? Is it ever sunny there? Did some marketing genius say, hey, San Diego?
I'm not allowed to tell you. All I'm allowed to say is that San Diego is America's sunniest, sexiest city, and keep San Diego weird.
Yeah. But I mean, the San Diego Open, like, okay, real talk, sister, does it have a future? I kind of think it's not long for this tour.
Well, I think they're extending Dubai and Doha to 10-day tournaments. I think both of them. So they're going to be 10-day 1,000s. And I think if they do that,
that's
or
10,000 total.
Well, it's two. Oh, you're right.
Two 10-day.
It's 20,000 total. Yeah,
20,000 points up for grabs at Dubai and Doha.
So I think that might just squeeze San Diego out of the calendar. I would love, though, for San Diego. I mean, it's my hometown. It's a great facility. You know, it's quaint. And
it's intimate, as they say. Yeah.
Well, what do you think of that Bolter-Kostyuk final? Another surprise final on the
another WTA. Surprise final. Look, so the cool thing about it is, like, hey, it's a 500 level tournament. You show up there and you're gonna grab some points. And I'm happy for Katie. She's had some good results the last 6-12 months. She and Alex are really raising each other's games. You know, I think it was sort of disappointing. We all thought that it was going to at least be a Pegula final.
Right.
I mean, there were some top players. Haddad Maia was there, but they really didn't pull it out. And so we ended up with who would have thought before this swing that we would have Katie Bolter winning and just Jasmine Paolini winning over in Dubai? Like, it's just like, what? Who?
We'll see. We'll see if Indian Wells is another unpredictable result for the WTA, or if, like, you know, the known top players, the Swiatek, Sabalenka, Rybakina, Goff, can return order to the tour. We love order. We need order.
As a sort of finicky homosexual, I crave order. Like, I need people to do what they're supposed to do and do it well, and then surprise me only when I want to be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it, with a good surprise, a big surprise.
It feels like every tournament on the WTA is kind of like its own episode of Black Mirror. Like,
yes,
you know, new characters, new plot, unpredictable plot, new setting. And, we have to get to know all this whole ensemble. And then, you know, the main characters, Paolini and Kalinskaya. Ooh, who are they? And then, like, the next episode is entirely a new cast and a new setting. And,
you know, I love that analogy. For me, I even think it's more like a telenovela where I'm like, every week there's some a scandalo. And it's like, who would have thought Kostyuk and Bolter in the final? Ooh.
Is that the scandalo?
A scandalo.
To the final.
Yeah.
Ooh. That was the only San Diego scandalo. I feel like there was at least one other that, you know, only you know as having secret intel. Secret.
I mean, I do. Intel. So I did have a mole down there whose job was to drive the players to and from. So it's a real sort of bootstrappy tournament where they have volunteers come to drive, which feels very not American. Like, what if you're just crazy? And you're like, I'll drive. Let me pick up Caroline Wozniacki. Like,
yeah.
Like, is that a good idea?
That's interesting that is a volunteer position.
Yeah,
picking them up from their hotels.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I feel like their hotels are, I mean, I don't know if there are a lot of hotels right there in Point Loma, but I mean, that's a literal drive. Like, I don't know. I feel like you should have a professional driver.
Well, they've got to know, like, the name they're staying under. Like, Caroline Wozniacki was staying under, like, you know,
what a
Kostyuk.
Yeah. Ditta.
She's like, I'm Coco Gauff.
Wow. So did your friend, did he, you know, get into any fun little accidents just to keep the players on their toes. Maybe that's...
He had some money riding on a couple of matches.
Is that why Blinkova won over Waz? Is that Blinkova gotten a little accident before her match? And, you know, that always kind of gets her adrenaline going.
Gets you going. Yeah. Look, when I have a tough match coming up, I just drive right into a tree.
I love to just hit the median. Kinda, yeah. And then ricochet yeah. off the... Yeah. Right off the Coronado Bridge.
Well, I told you I'm quitting coffee, so I need something to get right. me energized.
Yeah.
Just that little pep in my step.
Just a little bump. Little bump on the bridge, on the Coronado Bridge.
That's a bump that I'll take. A little bit about some flops and bops, because there's just been a few, and then we're going to get into Indian Wells.
What's your bop, Paul?
So my bop is the winner of two. So I guess this is still kind of almost winner circle, but the winner of the Chile Open and the Rio Open. The Rio Open is another 500 level tournament. Chile is 250. Is Sebastian Baez, Joan Baez's stepson. No relation to Joan Baez. But he
that
won.
Joan Baez performance at the Grammys was actually pretty good, I have to say.
I think you're thinking of Joni Mitchell.
You are correct, and edit that out.
Oh, no, that's staying in. Good. Kind sir. Joan Baez killed it.
Joan Baez still alive?
Fine. Look, hey, listeners, if Joan Baez is still alive, please send us a note on our Instagram at TBBpodOfficial and let us know where she's at. But yeah, he won two tournaments. Good for him. He's back up into the top 20. He's got a great game.
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely a clay quarter. I'm not expecting a ton out of the Sunshine Double, but it's kind of cool just to see someone, you know, take some opportunities.
It is fun to watch. It made me wonder, though, there are no tournaments at the 1,000 level or above in South America. Like, South America gets a little bit of a bad deal with the tour, right?
Well,
there's no
I mean,
no event that all the stars have to come to that's a bit, you know, has a big place on the calendar. I don't know.
So you're saying in our already incredibly packed calendar, we should add one more.
Yes, let's add a South America swing.
Let's get those girls from Dubai directly to Buenos Aires.
Yes.
And yeah, like, you know, who needs to sleep? I don't know why Danielle Collins would want to retire from this glamorous sport where you know what time it is and what continent you're on.
I think that's a great idea. I think there also aren't enough tournaments in Africa.
True. There's not a single one in Antarctica.
I think we need to add an Antarctican swing and an African swing as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, my bop is we had these two Chinese finalists in Austin. There seem to be a lot of Chinese players coming up the ranks right now. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know who exactly which of them to pay attention to. Although obviously Zhang Qinwen, like, you know, she has taken it to the next level. But I mean, Chinese tennis, it's here.
Well, on the women's side, on the men's side, you know, there's a few people here and there. The women though, yeah, they're coming up.
Should we preview Indian Wells?
Yes. So Indian Wells, as we talked about, it's coming up. It's starting on the 6th. Billy, you're going to be there for a full ass week. I don't know how many suitcases you're bringing and all the wigs and how you're planning your different looks for this.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I have to bring all of my oxygen chambers and all of it, you know?
Look, it takes a village. Are you bringing the staff?
I am bringing a reduced staff. Yeah. All the players are going to be there, right? We've got Rafa, Novak, Alcaraz, Sinner, you know, all the top WTA players like Paolini, Kalinskaya, Kostyuk, Bulter. They're all going to be there. And then on March 11th, no matter who is playing, we are going to abandon our seats and be in the Corona Cantina at 4 p.m.
Essentially, we're going to try to meet whoever wants to meet at Corona Cantina at 4 p.m. We're going to be there for an hour. We're just going to hang out. We're going to talk shit. We're going to look at boys, and we will be the guys wearing ball boys t-shirts and or tank tops.
Come and join us.
And, you know, if it's just me, you, and Billy, then you get two balls at once.
Oh, I already know about some folks coming.
Oh, well, then I guess you won't get all the balls that you want, but you'll get some of the balls that you need.
How's this? Come at 3:45. Don't tell anyone else. And
oh,
you can have both balls just yourself.
Both balls for 15 minutes. We'll start a timer.
Yeah.
And we're also going to be hanging out with our buddies at Ace the Moon, which is our favorite apparel, tennis apparel shop. They've been out there with their pop-up at the Mojave Trading Post. And if you come and meet with us and hang out, we might just have a discount code for you to go to Ace the Moon. So come on by and say hi.
Yeah, and they just unveiled some new designs that I think are really fun. So I'm excited to see our buddies at Ace the Moon.
With Indian Wells coming up, we wanted to talk about some of the matches coming up. It's interesting because every seed, every one of the top 32 seeds on both the men and the women's side get a bye the first round. So we're not going to have any of those types of first round matchups, but we're going to have a lot of first round matchups that are interesting.
The Rafas, the Osakas, the Raducanus, right? All those players still have to play the first round. So there are some spicy first round matches.
And like, we just got to start at the very top. This is what drives me crazy about the randomness of these first round draws, because we end up with Rafa Nadal playing against Miloš Raonic. And if anyone isn't familiar with Raonic, former top three player, Wimbledon finalist, yeah. He's been playing this year with some injuries hampering his comeback, but he's looking good. And when he's smacking that ball, like, his game is real tough and real good. And like, that is a quality late round matchup that whoever gets to go to that, lucky them. But I'm just so bummed that like Rafa didn't get to some schmuck.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, good popcorn match for the people who have tickets, right? Like,
yeah,
good, fun, spicy match. Let the best man win. Raonic, I feel like there's even a 50-50 chance that he'll even play the match. I don't know. He might.
Yeah, he's definitely not injury free. But I mean, same with Rafa. Like, who knows? Maybe neither one will finish. Has there ever been a match where neither one has finished?
Where they argue about who gets to default?
Yeah, I default. No. You please go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think so. But that would be interesting if there were listeners. Let us know. The winner though of that match will have to play Runa. So that is quite a little section of the draw.
Uh huh.
Rafa Raonic and then Rafa Runa just to get to the third round. Woo.
I mean, just the R's, just the rolling R's, Rafa and Runa and Raonic. Another great little matchup for me anyway is my man Stan Wawrinka versus Macek. And so Macek, great sort of
legs
potential, but the legs. I mean, he's the one who decided, hey, I heard the ball boys like guys in short shorts. I'm going to wear a onesie.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be another great one to watch. Stan has the sexiest backhand on the game, and Makac has everything else. So,
and Machak has also been winning some matches lately, so it could be a very competitive match.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Yeah,
I'm excited for it.
And speaking of legs, Marcos Giron playing against Thanasi Kokkinakis. Another, I think that will be a very entertaining match.
The cock Giron versus the wob.
Giron, the what?
The cock versus the wob.
Yeah, exactly. The cock wob. That's the couple name, the cock wob. And so Giron had some great form through the U.S., although he was another one who went down to Acapulco and had an Acapulco and just got thrashed by Rude. It was like a 6-1, 6-1. It was a rough day for Marcos. Yeah,
that was like, it was like a 43 minute match. Yeah. I don't know what was going on there, but yeah.
Bro. Rough. But yeah, so I mean, even the first round, even though none of these are seeds, gonna be sexy, gonna be spicy. You know, on the women's side, maybe a little less spice. Maybe they're saving the spice for the third or the fourth round. But my girl Pliskova is playing against Blinkova. I think that's a high quality matchup. I mean, Pliskova, she's one of my dark horses to go to have a real run here. She's been in great form.
Yeah, that's true. And Blinkova, of course, beat Rybakina at the Australian Open and then had beat Wozniacki last week in San Diego. So she's feeling herself right now. So that could be a fun one. I feel like, again, that's a bad draw for both because Blinkova's probably going to lose, even though she's an informed player.
Yeah, it's a great matchup. Again, fun for us, bad for them.
What do you predict, looking at the draw, what do your crystal balls tell you about who the winner is going to be? Why don't you start with the men? Who do you think is going to win this tournament? Who might be a dark horse? What are your predictions?
It's tough. I mean, so the guys who have been in form, it's Ugo Humbert and Alex de Minaur. And they are in form, but they're in form at tournaments where the top four generally aren't showing up. Sinner, Alcaraz, Novak have barely played since the Australian Open. Daniil Medvedev has played a little bit. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for anyone out of those four to win. I mean, Sinner is undefeated this year. He is not showing any. I mean, he is taking it to another gear. Yeah. And I don't know if he's going to lose for a little while. I think he's on a streak.
I mean, to come off that Australian Open win and then win Rotterdam, that's really making a statement because usually players have some sort of post first slam slump, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And he looks like
he's just like. Look at Raducanu. He could have done an Emma.
Look at Bianca Andreescu. I mean, we could go on.
Honey, Eva Maioli. Oof. I'm also just curious to see like how Rublev is going to behave in the tournament. Like part of me wonders, like, is he going to be wheeled out by like Hannibal Lecter, just sort of like in that straight jacket and face mask. So he doesn't hurt anybody. And then he plays.
Yeah. I mean, all eyes are going to be on him. And so it's going to be interesting to see if he like shows any self-consciousness around the controversy or if he's just like business as usual. He might play Andy Murray, who's actually won a couple matches recently in the second round. So yeah.
Although Murray has really, he is very open about how he is at, it's not the 11th hour, it's the 11th hour in like 59 minutes. He's like, I'm on, I'm done.
He is looking
That's
for that
Scottish
pumpkin
accent.
Will you do that again, please?
Come on, I'm done. It's like what he said at the end of one of the matches. He's just like,
Andy and Margaret, you know, I feel like they sound a little alike, just a little bit.
Well, they're both, you know, a product of the British Empire. So,
yeah. That makes
sense.
They
have a cousin somewhere.
Yeah.
What about you? Who do you think is going to make a run?
I'm thinking Humbert might upset Novak in the fourth round. I'm holding out hope. I don't necessarily see that in my balls, but I do maybe see it if I look at the balls with one eye and I don't know.
If you like, get real close.
Blurred vision. Yeah, exactly.
You start saying, there. There. There.
And I'm with you. I predict Sinner to go all the way.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he's
surprised
just,
if we had a little surprise like a de Minaur taking it or something like that.
I would love some surprises. I think where the WTA is really succeeding is in the surprise category. Like, woo!
Yeah.
And the men,
they're really taking it to a whole new level.
Like,
surprise. A surprise within a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's a third surprise you didn't even know about.
Yeah.
But the men, they're not really giving us that. So I would love a surprise. Like if Rafa made a run, if someone like Tommy Paul made a run.
Yeah.
Like maybe like Rune, who is a big court player. And he's back with Patrick, and he had a decent run down in Acapulco.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like he's going to jump back into some form. His legs look fantastic. Did you see that meme of when he played Casper Ruud and they had their photo at the net right before the match? And it was like, which shorts would you wear? And it's like Casper Ruud, his shorts are basically down to his knees. And
right.
Holger Rune, it's like the coochie cutters, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
It really showed that Rune is making a choice with those shorts.
Well, also, I mean, why isn't Yonex getting on board with the trend, like with the sleeveless trend, with the short shorts? I mean, everyone else is doing it. Casper, I think, would look great.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What are we waiting for?
Yonex, let's do this.
Let's do it, Yonex.
Yeah. And what about the ladies? I mean, are we going to have Rybakina repeat?
I actually think we are going to have a Rabakina repeat, but I think there's going to be some.
Well, that was easy.
The person I'm eyeing is Naomi Osaka, because for the first time this year, her comeback year, she actually has a pretty cakey, makeable draw. Her section of the draw, it's not like she has a huge seed or a player she can't conceivably beat or someone named Caroline or
I was going to ask, is she playing anyone named Caroline or Carolina?
No, they're not in her quarter. So,
oh my God.
I think she's poised to make a deep run. She won this tournament back in 2018. It was like her breakthrough.
That was her big coming out party. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm seeing an Osaka Sabalenka semifinal, which I think would be fireworks. That's what my balls are telling me. How about you?
Oh, I'm very into that. I actually feel like it's going to be someone. I think we're going to have a run by either an Ostapenko or a Svitolina.
Okay.
I think one of them is really going to make it to like probably like the semis.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
I could see an Ostapenko run.
Oh yeah, I mean she is just unbeatable and then extremely beatable.
Right.
Like it's just she's going to kick ass until she's just like no, and then she's going to fight with some electronic line.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's really hard to think that Iga's not going to do great. So I think we've got 7 or 8 candidates who will make runs. And then the thing is, because of the WTA, it will be 7 or 8 other people who make it to the quarterfinals. But it's going to be exciting to watch because it's going to be a surprise.
I am curious, will any of these women who like had big runs in Melbourne, like Yastremska or Naskova, or had big runs recently, like Paolini and Bolter, will any of them do anything at Indian Wells? Like, will they establish themselves?
I'm going to say no.
Not one
of them. You don't
need
to finish the question. I know what you're saying.
Okay.
And the answer is no.
Wow.
Yeah. Because that is the not surprising part about WTA is that people make a splash. They don't want to make another splash. They're done with the pool.
Yeah.
No, not that kind of pool.
Yeah. I mean, do you honestly think an Osaka Sabalenka semifinal? I was thinking Swiatek versus Rybakina and then Osaka Sabalenka. I mean, that is what the WTA arguably needs.
I don't know. That feels too consistent. That feels too to form.
Yeah, that feels really true to form. And really fairy tale-ish.
I think 2 of those 4 have a shot. Any 2 of those 4, but I don't think all 4 will make it. There's just something about the juju going on in the WTA. Like it's just, that would be wild. And I'd also be afraid that would happen because then I feel like at least one of those semifinals would be a walkover. There's just something about the later stages of a WTA tournament. You said it yourself. You're hesitant to buy a ticket to the end, to like a finals match. It's like, who knows?
Yeah, no, it's fair. I mean, we will convene right at the end of Indian Wells, having been there, having had ball boys day, having gotten into all sorts of trouble, and we'll see which predictions, if any, came true. I'm excited. Listeners, if you're looking to volunteer to drive some players around over at Indian Wells, I think we still need a few more volunteers. So just
or if you want to drive the ball boys around. So yeah, so that's our little Indian Wells preview. And I hope that anyone who is in the greater Indian Wells area comes and says hello on Monday the 11th. I will be doing some viral marketing on Grindr. So anyone, if you see a tennis ball on your grid, that's me. And come on and say hello. But either way, it's going to be a great tournament. And we will have some surprises one way or another. And Billy, as always, you're a peach. You are the peach to my fuzz. And I will see you real soon.
See you soon.
Bye, everybody.